Today is July 28th. I'm Lissa Kramer, and I am here with
Amedeus O'Brien. I go by Amy.
We are in Bethel, Alaska, and thank you so much, Amy, for agreeing to talk to me today. As I've told you, we're going to be talking about plants that have been introduced to Bethel. You're welcome to share your story and anything in your own language if you'd like, whether English or Yupik, or any other language you'd like. These recordings will be freely available and hopefully will encourage others to learn about plants and about culture. It's intended that everything will be preserved and made accessible to anybody interested in learning, which could include your great-grandchildren. This and other recordings regarding ethnobotany become a part of the oral history collection at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and will be placed online in the Ethnobotany Project Jukebox platform hosted by the university. So let's start with introductions. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're from, maybe who your family is, your parents, maybe your grandparents, or anything you'd like to share?
All right. I was born in Bethel, raised in Nunamiq, a small village, tundra village, on the coast of Yukon Delta. And my mother was a health aide in the village. And there were less than 200 people in the village, 172 when I left the village. And because my mother was a health aide, she was very conscious of plants and careful. And told us not to touch plants that we don't know anything about, not to eat them, and not to play with them as toys. And so, and it got more after there was a little girl that ate water hemlock and died. So, she came to the school and talked to all of the students that were in that village and informed everyone again not to touch plants, play with the plants, or pick any plants that, especially that we don't know about. And so it got driven into us growing up. And after that death, that young girl dying from eating the root bulb of the water hemlock, we got very afraid of plants after that. And another plant was Angelica. It didn't grow in our village. I thought it was the same plant as water hemlock because the tops look similar, and unless they're side by side, I couldn't tell the difference. And when we would go back into the creeks and sloughs and rivers back behind our village towards Kuzilvac, my dad would pick Angelica and eat them with his friend. But my mother would not allow us to go near that plant or touch it. And I wondered about that because I thought it was water hemlock, because when I was very young, I couldn't tell the difference. To this day, I can't tell the difference unless they're side by side. And my dad picked those with some clams and then brought them back to our berry picking camp, and my mother sliced them very thinly and boiled them for my dad and his friend, and they ate those, and my mother said, instructed us children not to touch those, not to eat them.
Wow.
And this was towards the end of July, so they were, it was getting towards fall, like this time of year. And so I got a little confused at why they were eating water hemlocks and survived, and this young girl that ate the bulb died. And when I questioned my mom, all of me and my sisters, we questioned our mom, and she wouldn't answer our questions and didn't tell us that this was a different plant from water hemlock. Until like 3 years ago, I learned that there was a different plant that they were, my dad was eating. And but the water hemlock, I'm very, very afraid of it because of that young lady dying. And then 2 years ago, Sarah Murray took a plant and only took the, she left the bulb alone and just cut this from the bottom of the stem and held it up in the air, and she was talking to us, holding it up in the air, and the wind, a gust of wind blew, and it blew from the plant towards her face, and then she started coughing, and then she started talking again, and another gust of wind blew, and she started coughing even more, and then it was getting worse. So she put the plant down and realized that all this coughing irritation that she was suddenly getting was from the water hemlock. And it was the stalk and the top, the flower, that she was holding. And we were both surprised at how it was making her, because I thought it was only the bulb of the plant that was poisonous.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's very potent.
Yes, very. And this plant was in somebody's backyard that had a lake. They built their house beside a lake, and we noticed that hammock was set up right beside a water hemlock plant, and they had a little 2-year-old girl. So Sarah went and told the mother to be careful with that plant, and her daughter, her 2-year-old daughter, and she said, "Oh no, she's not allowed to go back there without adult supervision." So
that's still pretty scary.
Yeah, yes, it is. So, but the only thing that we grew up with, the other thing that we grew up with that was okay for us, was this plant called pineapple weed.
Did you have other names for this? Some people call it chamomile?
Yeah, chamomile. And every household in the village had dogs. So it grew in everybody's front yard, all around the house. And
why did dogs?
And it wasn't until I was in high school, and we moved to another village for the school year, and there was no dogs in that house we were renting, and we didn't have a dog, we didn't bring a dog with us. But I noticed that this chamomile was missing, and I didn't see it anywhere around that particular house. But it was in other people's front yard that had dogs. And I didn't connect the two until I met Sarah. And there's a mosquito right there. And then somebody said that that these chamomile grow only where dogs pee.
I had not heard that.
And but we picked some, rinsed them off really well, and then made them into a tea, and they taste so good and nice and strong. Unlike the chamomile tea that you buy from the store, those ones taste kind of weak and like faded or something, you know, like not. Mm-hmm. And these ones were more fresh and stronger and had more taste to them.
Why'd you drink the tea?
We had a tea party, and so and we were learning about the properties of chamomile tea. And I also learned that if you pick enough of it and boil them in a pot, and then spill it into your bathtub and take a bath in it, if you have eczema, it cures it.
That seems very useful.
Yes, and growing up, other people would pick them and eat them, just straight off the ground.
Just
the top part, the top yellow part. They would eat that and said that they never got sick. So that I never tried it like that. I tasted like a little tiny bit and then stopped to see if I would have some kind of reaction.
That seems smart.
Yeah, and I was okay, but you know, because of that death in our village, I grew up very leery of plants, and until I was in my late 50s, then people start making oils with them,
mm-hmm.
with Devil's Club, Jaichluk, and chamomile, the three that I knew of.
Mm-hmm.
And I left them alone, and I never did anything with them until I moved to Bethel. Until I moved back to Bethel. And there was something with the water I couldn't get used to. The corners of my fingernails,
mm-hmm.
would break, crack, and they would not heal. And I would wash dishes every day, and I knew it was from the water, but there was no getting around not washing dishes, so
yeah.
I had to wash them. And then I knew about Jaichluk, so I went when it was spring. I went and I picked Jaichluk. I picked the leaves and rubbed it a little bit, and then wrapped it around my cracked fingernails, the cracked edges of my fingers around my fingernails, and put put a Band-Aid on it, and right away they healed both of my thumbs. And I moved back to Bethel in February, and in July I did that, and the cracks on my thumbs were getting worse and worse, and they were so bad that they were bleeding, and they would not heal. I tried everything, ointments like from the hospital, Vaseline, lotions, hand lotions from the stores, and nothing worked. I tried bandages. I said, okay, I won't wash dishes all week, and I won't take a shower. And they started to heal a little bit, but they wouldn't heal all the way until I used Jaichluk. And in my village, Jaichluk never grew. It was a tundra village. The tundra is different where I come from than it is here in Bethel. The tundra in Nunamiqua is very soft. When you take a step, you sink quite a bit, like probably 6 inches. Each step you take, your foot sinks 6 inches, about 6 inches. And there's these tufts of grass that grow, mm-hmm. and they look like, they're just a little bunch of grass that grow on tundra that's on a little tiny bump, like a 6 to 8 foot tundra bump. And so we would try as much as possible to walk on those so we won't sink 6 inches every step we took. And the tundra here in Bethel is different. It's more firm, like there's rocks right close underneath, and like the tundra is thinner, maybe, and so it's more firm and easier to get around, and
so you see the Jaichluk here but not there.
Yeah, so my mother, when my dad had cancer, my mom said she wants to go up the Yukon River a ways,
yeah,
to the next village, probably 30 miles. And the soil, the ground was different. It was silt. They didn't have tundra. And it was really easy to track into the houses and hard to sweep. And so, and when you sweep the floor, you had to be very careful anyway. On the tundra villages, you didn't have to be careful like that. You could walk in the house with your shoes and not track anything in. You didn't track the tundra into the house. And so we didn't have to sweep the floors often. And but my mom knew that Jaichluk grew on this silt that grew, that Alranq was built on that silt. And so she would go up, have my dad bring her to the neighboring village, and I'd follow her. And she said, I asked her, how do you know where to go to find this Jaichluk? And she said, it grows where people throw their trash, or where, because we used to We only had honey buckets back then, and so we'd use honey buckets and spill it over the edge of the into the sloughs and lakes and stuff. And she said, where people dump their trash or their honey bucket, that's where they grew the most and they were the healthiest.
Wow.
And so, and I asked her, well, why did you pick that one and not this small one? And she said, that's new. That's new. It's just growing. And she needed to pick the ones that were more mature because they had the more medicine in them and the greener they are. And so she would pick a big couple of armloads of armfuls of these jaichluk, bring them to Nunam, wrap them nicely. She brought a couple of blankets for that and wrap them nicely and then bring them home and take out her biggest pot, fill it with water, and then put the jaichluk in and press it down, press down as much as she could and allow it to boil. And I thought she boiled it for an hour, but she could have, it would have maybe 45 minutes, but it would get dark, dark green, and she would pour them into very clean glass bottles. And the only glass bottles that we ever collected was from juice or juice bottles or whiskey bottles or any kind of glass bottles. And so she boiled them and rinsed them out really good and cleaned the covers really good and boiled them. And then she poured them into these glass bottles and allowed them to cool. And then she would put them in a cool, dark place. Because we didn't have refrigerators at that time. We didn't have electricity or running water. So, and then she put them in a cool, dark cupboard and instructed us kids not to go near that cupboard or touch those bottles. And she had my dad drink a small glass cup every morning, one glass every morning and one glass every night. And it was very, very hard for him because he, every morning and every single night, we would hear him gag while he's trying to drink that. And he was loud about
He did not like it.
it too. Yeah. But he drank it anyway. And then, maybe a year later, after they discovered he had cancer, the Bethel Hospital sent for him again, and so he went and got a recheck, and they said, "Well, your cancer's gone. What happened?"
Wow.
And so he told them that that my mom was made him jaichluk and had him drink it every day, once in the morning and once at night. And then I know when the YKHC had the hospital down before they moved it to that yellow one,
Yeah.
they used to give some of their patients jaichluk in a smaller container. I saw it before, but it was very small, like a maybe an 1 ounce little cup.
Yeah.
And I knew it was jaichluk because the nurse would be standing in front of the patient, and the patient would take a small sip and do the same thing. My dad did, just start gagging. But and then I asked one of the nurses, "What's going on? How come he's gay? Why is he gaying so much?" And because they're letting him drink Jaikluk. And I don't know if they prepared it the same way as my mom did or not, or how that worked out. And then when I developed type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. I don't like to heal anymore. My body don't like to heal, so I have to be very careful. Like when I cut myself, mm-hmm. it don't like to heal anymore. And then I discovered people here in the Bethel area start making salves, and one of them is Jaikluk, and another one from the Anchorage area, they sold, Palmer area sold Devil's Club. That one works really well too, but I noticed that they expire, mm-hmm. that after a time they quit working.
Yeah.
And but I use Jaikluk salve quite a bit. Like sometimes in my sleep I'll start scratching myself, mm-hmm. and get a little tiny open wound, and then it won't want to heal. Mm-hmm. And I use Jaikluk on it, and then it heals. And I noticed that in my sleep, I never used to do this, but on my calves, mm-hmm. I get so itchy, and in my sleep, I scratch it until I scratch
a wound,
and then I won't even notice until I take a shower, and then it won't heal unless I put something on it too. And Jaikluk is the thing I use the most now. And I'm not very familiar with the Angelica plant. I heard about it. Mm-hmm. I seen it. But I still haven't learned much about that. And the other thing about Jaikluk is that I notice that when I drink Jaikluk, even I make the tea very weak, mm-hmm. my blood pressure rises. And I have high blood pressure.
Me too.
And it rises, it gets worse, and I could feel it in my head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I don't drink it, I don't ingest that.
So I know some of these pictures I've shown you, I think you said you only really recognized the chamomile.
Uh-huh.
Do any of the other ones look familiar?
No. I've seen them, but I always thought they were weeds.
Well, I think that's very interesting.
This plant, though, the creeping buttercup.
Yeah.
We pick that and eat it, but these ones are, you have to pick them and eat them when the flower is still in the bulb. And then when they open, they get too tough.
Okay.
Yeah. But these are pretty tasty.
Have you seen any dandelions around?
Dandelions, they're starting to grow everywhere now.
Did they used to?
They never used to grow around in this area. Everywhere that I've been to, they never used to grow until... And then I went to Tyonek to work before, and I saw dandelion only in somebody's back, one person's front yard. And I said, dandelion grow here? And she said, no, they don't. This guy, he planted grass in his front yard, and now the dandelion grow now. And now they said they're starting to see it spread. Like it doesn't only grow in his yard anymore. It's growing, it's spreading, growing everywhere now. And they didn't know how to stop it. That, I don't know the properties of this buttercup. All I know is that when they grow summertime, or springtime, when they start sprouting, people go and pick them up, pick them and eat them. And they're really good after not eating any greens all winter long. The other thing I don't see here is gapugaks. They grow in the lakes, and they grow in spring, and they start growing sometimes before the ice melts from the bottom of the lake. So they start using ice pick to pick the ice, so they can pick the pick gapugaks.
Could you spell that one for me?
No.
Okay.
I don't know how to
spell. About you say it again slow, and I'll try to spell how it sounds.
Ga. And boo is spelled with a P. P-U. Gucks.
Gapu gucks.
Q. A.
If I can get it to look the way it sounds, I can ask Ruth.
Okay.
Because she'll help me spell it.
Okay. Gapu gucks.
So like
K. Maybe K. K or G. I don't know.
That's
anyway, so
closer.
If you tell her that they're called spinach that grow in lakes. I see them in the lakes here, like at the boat harbor, but nobody picks them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and even the blackfish here that swim along these, and I asked, why don't you guys pick the? Why don't you guys get the blackfish from the what is that? Brown slough that swim towards Brown Slough, and I was told because of all the runoff from the streets here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they go somewhere else and pick them. And I said, how do you know it isn't the same one that go away over there? They go swim over there. And I said, well, they're not the ones here in Bethel. They got cleaned off or something. But there was another one we call Machukuluhax.
I'm going to try to spell that. Ma.
Chu. Si. U. Ka. Luhax. Machukuluhax.
Machu.
Q.
Ka.
Q.
Machuca.
L. Lu. Kak. Yeah.
So what is that one?
I think it's this. But I don't know. It's more red. The stem is red. And it grows in very hard packed gapugaks. There's a third one. They call it mouse food, that
oh.
root. Those ones grow during the fall, or the mice collect them, and
what do they look like, the same color of flowers?
No. The mice collect them and put them in a in their own cache underground, and the way to find it is if the the ground is very soft, like you can fall through, and
is
then
it like
you
the,
pull it up.
Like the cotton grass kind?
No.
It's a different one.
No, no. If you walk along, like, so you mostly use your feet. You walk along looking for a soft spot, and if it's soft and you sink a little bit, then you bend and you pull the ground up, and underneath will be a little, like a little open area, and all of that mouse food will be sitting there, and they look like little potatoes maybe. And you eat them, you can eat them, you rinse them off and eat them, and or you can put them in soups. I've never had them roasted yet.
They're really tiny potatoes.
Yeah, and they taste starchy.
So, when I was talking to Ruth, she mentioned beach grass, that she sees it along the roads here now, but she didn't used to. Do you remember anything about that?
Yes. I couldn't tell the difference, though.
Yeah.
I still can't. And people point them out to me. I can't tell. Because I'll be going along and I'll say, there it is! And they say, no, that isn't it. I can't tell. Just like I can't tell the difference between types of wood when it's when it comes drifting down the Yukon River mm-hmm. to our village. My mom would instruct my brother, excuse me, what kind of what cottonwood looks like. I couldn't tell the difference, and my mom told my brother to study that and study, and she would bring a different wood and say, study it until you can tell the difference. She would say something, how to tell it apart, and then bring another wood and say, study that, and then compare it to this one, this other wood.
So I heard that around this area that people used to just get the wood from the river, that there weren't any trees. But there's some trees right there.
Yeah, no, these are logs, big logs, not trees.
Yeah.
And this one lady in our village went and picked willows up, or cut willows down, and used it to smoke her fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it smells so different, and it smells so bad. and cottonwoods, you could really tell it's mild, it's it smells different. It smells better. And then when other people use different types of wood, you can tell, because the dried fish, when you're eating the dried fish, it tastes really strong. And
you can taste the wood?
Yeah, and then you can't eat too much of the dried fish because it's too strong, tastes too, the smoke flavor is different. And the cottonwood is milder, and you can taste the smoke and like smoky flavor,
mm-hmm.
but it isn't overpowering.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So here's another plant that I think, do you recognize this one?
I've seen this plant.
This is
No. I see.
That just happens to be in the picture.
Okay.
That's
no.
the yarrow.
Yeah,
this is plantain.
Can I say plantain? No. I'm more familiar with yarrow, but not too much. But this plantain, all of these other plants, I've seen this one at
this
my son's grave site.
The sheep sorrel?
Yeah, and I thought that was just a weed. And this one.
Yeah, this one is the curly dock.
And I thought they were weeds, so I pick them, pull them up, and... But I never saw them before growing up, and the first time I seen this one was in Anchorage.
The sheep sorrel?
Yeah, the sheep sorrel. And all of these other ones I'm not familiar with. I seen this one growing in certain places, and I see people say that they pick and eat this.
They eat the curly dock?
Yeah, before it becomes...
Before it gets the big flower.
Yeah, before it before it fully grows, when it's just a stalk. But I couldn't, you know, I have a hard time distinguishing one plant from another plant, like this and this one I thought were the same one.
The dock and the sorrel?
Yeah.
They do look very similar.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest differences is possibly the size. This one gets bigger, and the leaves on this get bigger, and they're kind of curly.
Uh-huh.
And this one's, like, a little bit smaller.
Okay.
This one's more, like, this big.
Okay.
So, have you ever seen this one around?
I never did until I moved to Anchorage. Then I start seeing this around Fairbanks at first.
The foxtail barley?
The foxtail barley.
I've heard it called squirrel tail too. Have you
yeah,
heard that?
No. But then I start seeing it growing in Anchorage area. And then I came here and I said, oh, it grows here. But I never seen it growing in my village.
Okay.
That's why I... there were very few plants that grew in my village. Ayuk is a Labrador tea. The Labrador grows bountiful in my village. And anytime anyone got a headache, they would drink the Labrador tea. And when I was growing up, I was like, it's not from the Labrador tea. It's because you were dehydrated.
Maybe.
You didn't get better from the Labrador tea. You were dehydrated. And same thing with aspirin.
Yeah.
Because you drink it, you wash it down with water. The aspirin didn't help you. You were just dehydrated.
The water does help a lot.
Yeah.
That's true. Have you ever seen this one?
I have never seen it.
I have
never seen that plant.
I think they call it lamb's quarter in the West, but where I grew up, we called it pigweed.
I heard this one has a very... has medicinal properties as well, and that is knotweed.
Yep, the prostrate knotweed.
But I only seen it growing in Anchorage between the concrete cracks. I never see it grow anywhere else. And in certain neighborhoods, I notice it never grows. And around the Mountain View area,
mm-hmm.
I seen it growing there a lot.
Okay. That's good information.
Yeah. And so because it grew only in cracks, I thought it was just a weed. Yeah, it is, right? But I heard it had medicinal properties.
I think weed is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. This one, too.
The shepherd's purse?
Yes. No, maybe not. Yeah. No, I never seen this plant before, but I see people plant this daisy, oxeye daisy.
Yeah. Do they plant it here? Or in the village?
In Anchorage.
Okay.
And these other plants I never see growing except maybe in people's front yards. These two yellow ones and this other yellow
like
one.
Like the hawk's beard and the hawk bit.
The dandelion too.
Yeah, these ones always look very similar to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they can be hard to tell apart with the dandelion also.
Yeah. I always thought they were dandelion.
I did too. The leaves are a little different.
Yeah.
Like those ones, the leaves are a little more alike. And these ones, the flowers are more alike.
Mm-hmm.
But these have really narrow leaves like this.
One time I went fishing beside a creek around Talkeetna, and I saw this plant for the first time, the autumn hawk pit, and I looked at it, I saw it, and I asked, what is this? Is it a dandelion? Looks kind of different, and
mm-hmm.
Somebody said it was a dandelion.
I think people just call it that anyway.
Yeah.
I always did.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, are there any other plants that you can think of that you want to mention that maybe you didn't see and then now you see them either here or in the village, or even some of the things you noted about Fairbanks and Anchorage were really interesting?
Just the Irish plant, the Alaskan Irish.
Yeah.
When I went back to my village, I never saw it growing at all. And then I noticed that since it started warming up, it grows rampant. There's just a big sea of them growing now. And one of my nieces, she was so happy to see them and see those pretty flowers, she went and picked a whole bouquet of them, and she got an allergic reaction.
Really?
Yeah. And she couldn't breathe or was having a really hard time breathing, so her mom escorted her. She got medevac to the hospital.
Wow.
Up here.
That's a pretty bad reaction.
Yeah, and she was the only one that had a reaction to those Irish plants, those Irish flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else. And now it's just like spreading really far. And the erosion
mm-hmm.
it's eroding in Nunamiqua really bad. And all of those irises, the ones that are growing by mm-hmm. the riverbank, they're all falling into the river there, and but they're spreading further and further up into the tundra, into the village, and yeah, we never had that before. We never saw those. We would see them every once in a while, but very rare,
mm-hmm.
and very far, nowhere near the village, and now they're growing in the village.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I looked them up, they're called Alaskan Wild Irish. Yeah.
You're the first person to mention that one. That's kind of an interesting...
And also frogs. We never had frogs when I was growing up. And now there's frogs.
There's frogs?
Yeah.
I wonder how they got there.
I don't know. I don't know. And then one time I was picking berries up. We went berry picking up. In that creek, it looked like a creek, towards Three Step,
mm-hmm.
and we stopped on high tundra, so we went up in there and start picking, and I saw a grasshopper.
Is that new?
Yes, I never seen one before, but it was really small, maybe this small, and my grown son, I said, "Son, look at this." And he looked, and it was a grasshopper, and he said, "That's somebody's pet." And I said, "Hey, nobody's living here." And he told me to bring it back to Bethel and post it. I'm not doing that.
Oh, wow.
So it was, yeah. And when I was growing up in the village, I never, ever saw a raven.
Really?
Yeah. Until I moved. Where did I first time ever see a raven? Here in Bethel?
Wow. Are they at the village now?
They're in the village now. Yeah.
Are there a lot of them?
Not too many. Not as bad as here in Bethel. And the last time I went to Nunamiqua, one of them constructed a nest on a metal tower for cell phones.
I don't know,
what do you call those things?
Cell tower.
Yeah, cell tower. And every day I would walk by it and look up there, and I would see like three ravens on the rim of the nest, like they were guarding. And there was inside the nest was the mother.
Yeah, probably were. They take care of their own.
Yeah, and I brought that up to one of my cousins, and he said, "Well, I guess that's how they are. Protect their own."
Well, Amy, that was a lot of really good information. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you.
Any other final thoughts before we end the recording?
No, I don't have any. There's probably more I know, but I can't think of them right now.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. If you think of something later you want to add, you can let me know.
Okay, I will. The creeping buttercup I discovered grows on the other side of the island from the Bethel seawall. There's an island there, and if you go in your boat all the way around the island, on the other side is like a sandbar type area. And if you get up and walk, you'll find these creeping buttercups. But you have to go there like in spring or late spring, that's when they start growing, and before the bulbs bloom, that's when you need to pick them to eat.